Technology TV.
Comments disallowed? Comments turned off? What? Implied video, 7 things I didn't know about prophecy. The comments are turned off. See, that prevents people, well, except for people like me, from commenting, obviously. I don't know why Clyde would do that, except he doesn't want controversy. But we grow through controversy. I remember before Nelson Howe died, our fellow brother in the UK, he made some excellent videos. Many of you know Nelson. You remember the videos he made. And he also disallowed comments on YouTube, right? You can shut off comments, not allow people to comment. And he did that. And I'm thinking, Nelson, I called him, talked to him. I said, Nelson, you know, you're really robbing the body of Christ of a forum. It's so frustrating, right, when you're watching a video and you love it, can't wait to say something and fellowship with other people, and you scroll down, it's like, comments disallowed. What? It's like we're back in grade school. No talking. No talking. Talk too much. No recess for you. So, and I told Nelson as well that you'll get all kinds of encouragement, Nelson. People love you. Why don't you let them tell you that they love you? I love it when people tell me that they love me. It's sustaining. I tell them that I love them. It's a love fest. Comments turned off. No talking. No talking in class. I don't know. It almost seems like, you know, the Catholic Church, where the priest just pontificates and everybody else shuts up and goes home. Nelson said, well, I don't want to cause arguments. Jesus, man. Arguments are... they're things that cause growth. Paul said to argue 11 times in the scriptures. There's nothing wrong with arguing, my friends. But anyway, this is Martin Zender. Yep, on a rant already. Not even 3 minutes into the video, I'm already on a rant. That's what I do. I'm fired up. I'm passionate about these things. And I'm going to finish commenting on Clyde's video, 7 Things I Didn't Realize About Prophecy, because he is taking away your expectation. The expectation of the body of Christ, because he's throwing away half of Paul's letters telling us that they're Jewish. And no letters written to the nations, according to this silly theory, Acts 28:28. No letter is written to the nations until Paul's an old man in prison. Probably, maybe, I don't know, Ephesians was the first letter written to the nations. This is an absurdity. And as I say, I'm going to say it again today, the best argument against the Acts 28:28 theory is the evidence offered for it, because it's so brittle. It's so lame. I'm sorry, but it is. Why am I apologizing? Why? I shouldn't apologize. It's just the truth. Clyde said, around the 33-minute mark of this video, in Acts 28, the prophetic clock of Israel stopped. What is the big deal about Acts 28? Paul is just... once again, pronouncing to Israel, this time in a formal type court setting, that God has turned his back on them temporarily. This happened, didn't happen in Acts 28, it happened Matthew 27:51, at the rending of the temple veil. Temple veil's ripped in half. What more do you want? It's the elephant in the room. I wonder when God turned away from Israel. Oh my God. Let's go, people. Here we go. Here we go. Quote, there has not been one prophecy fulfilled in 2,000 years because God is operating in a secret economy. Well, this may be true of Israel's prophetic statements. I'm not even willing to give that. I'm not even willing to give Clyde that. But Paul is also a prophet. He prophesies in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, perilous periods will be present. What is that? Prophecy. And it's being fulfilled in our day. Paul also says, 2 Timothy 4:3-4, says that the era will be, And we're in that era, ladies and gentlemen, when they will not tolerate sound teaching, but their hearing being tickled, they will be turned aside to myths. Prophecy fulfilled. The sign of Revelation 12. Whoops, that's an Israel prophecy fulfilled on November 23rd, 2017. And all the other Israel prophecies are beginning to be fulfilled. Now, many of the prophecies concerning the kingdom, concerning the book, the events in the book of Revelation, the unveiling, they haven't transpired yet. That's true. Unless you're a preterist and you think that the book of Revelation is historical, which is, whew, really cuckoo. You got to take God literal when possible. That's the law of language. Literal if possible. If it's not possible, then you look at figures of speech. Anyway, I made 800 shows on the topic of Revelation. Go to my website, scroll down a little bit. Go to martinzender.com, scroll down a little bit. You'll see Zender on Revelation. It's only 800 shows. It took me 3 years. If you start now, you'll be done before the snatching away. You better not be done before the snatching away, because hopefully snatching away will occur 2.5 minutes from now. That's always my statement and always will be my statement. It's meant to be a constant expectation. Nobody's supposed to take away your expectation of an early resurrection. It's called loving his appearing. And if anybody takes that away by scoffing and by saying, well, all these dates have not come to pass, therefore they're not going to come to pass, well, that's just illogical and it's damaging. It's damaging to you, the body of Christ. So I don't know, this doesn't please me at all. So the stage is being set for everything. When a playwright puts on a play, do you think they just start from scratch? Did I already say this last week? It sounds familiar to me. Maybe it's because it's going through my head all the time. No, God doesn't start from scratch. The playwright, everything's prepared ahead of time. The actors, the dialogue, they've been studying it for months, and then the play starts. But see, there's many preparations being made. Israel, things are happening for Israel to be able to do sacrifices. They're actually doing sacrifices now. The 144,000 are alive somewhere. Do you think they're not being prepared in some way? Of course they are. I quote my friend Clyde Pilkington. Paul demonstrated all the signs of the 12 apostles to validate his apostleship. And Clyde thinks that this proves that Paul was teaching the circumcision gospel, because some of the signs from Israel were carried over. But scripture also says that Peter, the chief of the circumcision gospel, gave Paul the right hand of fellowship. Does that prove that Paul was teaching Peter's evangel? No. And neither does the fact that some Israel signs attended Paul's early ministry. All that proves is that some early Israel signs attended Paul's early ministry. Paul's early ministry, because they gave it a leg up. Paul needed some fuel. He needed a rocket booster. He needed something to get him started. So Peter giving him the right hand of fellowship was important. And some of the signs coming over in the early ecclesia, the early body of Christ, to whom Paul was speaking from Acts 13 on, they were necessary at that time. But Paul explains the whole thing in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. He says these signs will be done away when maturity comes. So as Paul's ministry progressed, the signs went away, because the body of Christ was to be dependent on faith, you see, faith. And so Paul himself said it would happen. It doesn't mean then that those signs in the early part of Paul's ministry means it was a separate ministry to Israel. No, it was still Paul's ministry. Even Clyde almost admits it here. All the signs of the 12 apostles to validate his apostleship. Validate? Yes, it did validate his apostleship, those signs. Oh, God, these signs. Israel had these signs. Now this guy's having them. That validates his apostleship. Wow. Peter, the chief of the circumcision, the one that Jesus Christ gave the keys to the kingdom, he's given Paul the right hand of fellowship. I saw him shake hands. I saw him meeting together in Antioch. Wow, that validates Paul too. Paul's what? Paul's apostleship. And what is his apostleship? Glad you asked. Romans 11:13. Now to you am I saying, to the nation. This is Romans 11, an early letter that Paul, excuse me, that Clyde says was written to Israel. Let me read this to you. Now to you am I saying, to the nations, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the nations. Paul's apostleship, it's to the nations, not to Israel. Clyde says it is, so does Stephen Hill. It's not. I'm glorifying my administration. Clyde says later in the video that the administration or the dispensation of the grace of God did not start until Acts 28, 28. That's how I feel like saying it from now on. Acts 28, 28. It's not a big deal. Do you want me to read it? Oh my God. Paul's reviewing the history of the whole thing. Let's read this epic passage. Let it be known to you then. He's talking to the Jews. He's repeating the Isaiah prophecy. Eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear. That to the nations was dispatched. Was. To the nations. It's right there in Acts 20. The very text that they're saying proves that Paul's ministry to the nations didn't start until late in his life. This proves it. According to the Acts 28ers, this is a point where Paul's ministry to the nations start. But the very verse disproves it. Let it be known to you then that to the nations was dispatched this salvation of God. And they will be hearing. See, it's incomplete verb form on hearing. They will be hearing. Obviously, they were hearing and they will be hearing into the future. It's not like they're starting now. They will be hearing. You just wait. No, they will be continuing to hear while you continue to apostatize, you Israel types. That's it. That's Acts 28, 28. That's what the big deal's about. Okay. Paul says he's a minister of the nations. Now, Clyde makes a big deal out of this verse. Hang on to your seats, okay? Hang on to your seats. Because this is really silly. I will repeat it again. The best evidence against this position is the evidence offered for it. Here we go. Quoting Clyde. Clyde is quoting Paul. Paul says in beginning in Acts 26, verse 22, I'm going to go there. I taught none other things. He's talking to Agrippa and Festus. He's in Rome, in Caesarea at this time. He will be in Rome after this. This is Paul. I taught none other things except what were written in the law and the prophets. And then Clyde stops quoting Paul and he says, no other things. So Clyde thinks that because Paul said this sentence, I taught none other things except what were written in the law and the prophets. He thinks that that proves that Paul wasn't teaching his evangel, which includes secrets that weren't in the Israel teachings, the Hebrew scriptures. He thinks that, yeah, what I just said. That's what he thinks. That's what he thinks. That Paul only taught out of the Hebrew scriptures. Forget the secrets. I'm going to bring up the secrets too. Hang on. I'm going to bring it up. Because Clyde contradicts himself 2 minutes later. 2 minutes. It might be 1 minute and a half. I'm not sure. Let me review for you, though, some of the secrets. Romans 11, 25. I am not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren. Early letter. According to Clyde, Paul says, I taught nothing except that was what was written through the law and the prophets. No other thing. Clyde emphasizes it. No other things. Well, in Romans, he's teaching something that was not found in the law and the prophets. What was it? I'm not willing for you to be secret, to be ignorant of the secret, brethren, that callousness in part, on Israel's come until the fullness of the nations may be entering. Woo! The fullness of the nations, that is the completion of the body of Christ. This is the timing of Israel's callousness. Nobody knew that. No writer in the entire Hebrew scripture canon wrote that. Probably never even thought it. Not even while they were drinking. And, well, I wonder if the nations have to come in before our stubbornness is taken away. They didn't even enter their mind while they were intoxicated. And they were intoxicated quite frequently. There's another secret. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Paul says, to you a secret am I telling. We shall not all be put to repose, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the tossing of an eye at the last trump. There you go, another secret. That was taught in the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. Are you telling me? Paul taught nothing except what was in the law and the prophets. Nothing except what was according to Clyde. So that would have to mean that in an early letter, he taught nothing but what was taught in the prophets. 1 Corinthians was one of the earliest letters. Years, 30 years before Paul ends up in prison in Rome. Where does it say that we shall not all be put to repose, but we will be changed in an instant in the casting of an eye? Nowhere. It's not a stretch to say nowhere, because Paul calls it a secret. He calls it a secret. That means it's not revealed in the Hebrew Scriptures. Yet Clyde says he spoke nothing except what was revealed in the Hebrew Scriptures. Now, Clyde also says, quoting from Acts 26, and I'm going to go there. I'll probably have to end this show after that. I don't want to, because I got some amazing stuff coming up. I am bound in chains for the hope of Israel. Okay, that's what Paul quoted in his trial, pre-trial, before Festus and Agrippa in Caesarea, Acts 26. The context is the case that Israel has against him. The nations are nowhere in view in this trial. Nowhere in view. What do you think Paul's going to do at this trial? Talk about justification by faith, talk about the salvation of all, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be made mine. Christ's going to head up the universe, both things in the heavens and things on the earth, through the blood of his cross. And that's nowhere in the vicinity. Paul would be a fool to bring that up. He's speaking only about Israel. I'm going to go to the passage, don't worry. So at the 33-minute mark, Clyde actually admits that there are secrets in earlier letters of Paul. Listen to this. Within 2 minutes, he contradicts himself blatantly. Quote, Paul wrote a lot before Acts 28:28. So what's it about? It's very important that we know. I'll tell you one thing. It's not. It's not about the secret administration. Then he says, quote, were there secrets in there? Yes. So here he is, probably around minute 34, admitting that there are secrets revealed in Paul's earlier letters. Paul wrote a lot before Acts 28:28. Were there secrets in there? Yes. And yet, 2 minutes before, he's quoting Paul in Acts 26, and Clyde says, Paul taught no other things. He makes this emphatic statement. Paul taught no other things except what were written in the law and the prophets. Clyde's not considering the context. I'm going to go to the context. So if Paul's teaching no other thing except what was in the law and the prophets, and how is it that Clyde admits that he's revealing secrets in his early letters? Blatant contradiction. As I said, the best evidence against this teaching is the evidence presented for it. Let's go to Acts 16. Yeah. I love this. Like I said, I shouldn't love this, but oh, Acts 26. We're on Acts 26. You know, Clyde omits the last thing Paul said in that sentence. He stops. In the middle of a sentence, Clyde does, and I'm going to show you why. Acts 26, 22. On this account, the Jews, apprehending me as I am in the sanctuary, tried to lay hands on me, testifying to Agrippa and Festus. Happening then on assistance from God, until this day I stand attesting both. Before I go on, you got to remember, Paul's here because of he's being indicted by the Israelites. Nobody in the nations is indicting Paul, the Israelites. Happening then on assistance from God until this day, I stand attesting both to small and to great, saying nothing outside of what both the prophets and Moses speak. And Clyde stops there. Do you want me to read the next statement? I wish Clyde had done it, but he can't do it because it blows up the Acts 28 theory. There we go. Until this day, I stand attesting both to small and to great, saying nothing outside of what both the prophets and the Moses speak of impending occurrences. Of impending occurrences. That was the context of what the law and the prophets speak of impending occurrences. For instance, the judgment of the living and the dead. The impending occurrences. Perhaps the indignation to come. Impending occurrences. He doesn't say, I haven't said anything except what is in the law and the prophets, including justification. Nope, I never said anything about that because that's not in the law, law and the prophets. The conciliation of the world. No, I never said anything about that, the world being conciliated. There's another thing Paul revealed that was early letters, 2 Corinthians 5. God is conciliated to the world, not reckoning their offenses to them. Where do you find that? In the freaking law. But Clyde didn't say, Paul didn't say that he didn't teach that. He didn't say that he didn't teach the snatching away. He didn't say that he didn't teach that the secret of our bodies being changed. He said it only pertaining to impending occurrences. And I believe those impending occurrences concerned the resurrection of the dead and the judgment. That's what they booed him off the stage for on Mars Hill. Those Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who are no worse than the freaking Israel types. No worse. The Israel types are religious unbelievers. The Epicurean and Stoic philosophers of Acts 17 were worldly unbelievers. But they're all unbelievers. So as soon as Paul started talking about judgment, impending occurrences, the judgment, and the second coming of Christ, he's probably talking about that. The second coming of Christ, all related to Israel truths. So he's on trial because of these things. And Paul says, I don't know why there's basically, this is my version, my paraphrase. Paul says, I don't know why the Jews are so upset at me. Because I haven't taught anything. And the context is the Israelite. That's the context. So it's as though Paul is saying, concerning these Israelites who brought me to you, I didn't say anything to them apart from impending occurrences, all which agree with the law and the prophets, especially the prophets, Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, the heavyweights. It is just, you can see, it is just absurd to take this phrase that Paul says out of context, where he is, why he's there, and to stop before the money phrase here. I didn't speak anything outside of what the prophets and the law spoke of concerning impending occurrences. Specific, very specific. Without that detail, you might think, well, Paul's crazy, man, because we just read in his early letters all these secrets. The secret of Israel's apostasy, how long it would last, the secret of the resurrection, the secret of the salvation of all. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Early letter, Romans 15, 22. You telling me we find that in the law and the prophets? Show me the verse. Show me the money. Show me the verse. It's not there. This teaching is a cartoon. All right? I watched cartoons when I was a kid. Folks, I would rather watch reruns of Underdog than to watch any more of this video. But for you, I'll do it.